This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. The world is made up of people from different cultural backgrounds. Those cultural differences are what make things interesting and occasionally frustrating, even for people raised in that culture. In the West, folks are generally free to meet members of the opposite sex, perhaps fall in love, and if that happens, marry. But in other cultures, marriages are arranged. That seems alarmingly restrictive for those who grew up in this part of the world, but is completely normal in places like India. So what happens when you have a foot in both cultures and some people in your family are filmmakers? Well, you might end up with a movie about the clash of these cultures. And if you're really lucky, that film could also have a comic edge to it.
How do we want to do this?
Just start at the beginning of the story.
Right. Story starts 2 years ago in L.A. I had just broken up with Audrey, and I was miserable. We'd been together for 2 years, and I had never told Mom and Dad about her. In fact, they were freaking out because, you know, here I was, almost 30, never married, which in our culture is like...
Code red.
Code red.
We are having a great time with the family. Next time, we are going to come with the grandchildren.
Here's the thing. In Mom and Dad's eyes, I had no idea how to get a girlfriend. I don't know how they fell in love, but Mom and Dad are the happiest couple I've ever seen.
The way you guys married, would that work for me as well?
Yeah.
Not even a doubt. There's a matchmaking. This girl is good with that boy, but that boy is good with this girl. So all the girls and all the boys get married.
I love this picture. This is the closest an Indian picture ever gets to kissing.
This should be considered obscene by some people.
Well, that's the setup for Meet the Patels, about a family from India who settles in Charlotte and then focuses on getting their 30-year-old single son married. That son is Ravi Patel, who you may know from his work as an actor on TV's Scrubs, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, or the new Fox series, Grandfathered, which I think is starting this week. He's also making his directorial debut in this film, and he joins us now from Los Angeles, where it's very early in the morning, and I'm sure being in television, you get up this early all the time, don't you?
I'm sorry, were you saying something, Mike? I was taking a little nap.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
Ravi's sister, Geeta Patel, is a co-director on this project and the writer-director of the upcoming feature film, Mouse. She has credits on The Fast and the Furious and Blue Crush. And she's also with us, but from Taiwan, where it's 9 p.m. At least you're not up early. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
And in our studio... the parents, Vasant and Champa Patel. Needless to say, they are prominently featured in what has been called a real romantic comedy. What a delight to meet the two of you. Nice to have you here in our studio.
I'm glad to be
here. Thank you for having us, Mike.
Wait, quick question. I don't know. Do you guys have craft services there? Because they tend to snag all the free snacks.
Oh. No, we just have...
check her purse on the way out, okay?
we just have water, and it's public radio, so we charge for it.
There you go, they won't touch it.
So
also check for toilet paper. Okay,
come on, get that. We are on air.
We are in real trouble here this morning, let me tell you. This movie has been described as the Indian My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and I saw the film yesterday. I saw that film again last week, and I saw your film yesterday. But when I watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding again, I found that it's still funny, it's still sweet and tender and poignant, but it's fiction based on fact, and your film is a documentary. It is fact. How did it start?
Well, funny enough, this whole thing started as a home video. I mean, you know, like you just heard in that trailer you played, I had just broken up with Audrey. Mom and Dad didn't know about her. And what happened was we took off for our family trip to India. It was an 18-hour flight. Geeta had just bought this new camera. She had just completed her previous film, which is called Project Kashmir, and she wanted to learn, you know, how to operate a camera. And so she brought this camera, and she was, you know, learning how to use it. And while she's doing that, I'm having this conversation about, you know, this is insane how much pressure we're getting, because that whole 18-hour flight, Mom and Dad are only talking about marriage. And I'm mm-hmm. telling Geeta how crazy it is that it's kind of normal amongst many of my Indian friends to hide a girlfriend from your parents. Yet when I walk out into the real world, it's, you know, you're considered spineless or judged or whatever else. And we'd have these conversations, and, you know, we came back from this India trip, and we sent the tape off to TBS, and, you know, they liked what they saw. And at the time, I thought it was going to be like a one-year, thought we'd do like a journalistic, funny Michael Moore type thing, and, you know, turned out to be a 6-7-year project about us.
I mean, it basically, the thing that was tricky is that we're on this, you know, this family trip to India, and as Ravi's going through this, you know, Mom and Dad are setting him up with Indian women, and, you know, in some cases, like if you see in the movies, that's the end of the story. You know, in the movies we see about the culture, it's always like, oh, these parents, they want to get their kids arranged, and we've all heard that story. Oh, these parents are so weird, whatever. But for us, that was not the story. You know, for us, it was that Mom and Dad are trying to set Ravi up, and they are the happiest couple we know. Their marriage is beautiful to us. And so and all the marriages in our family that have been done this way through the arrangement or that what we call a semi-arranged marriage in the United States, where they kind of matchmake you and use all these processes, which are in the film, that, you know, that get you there. These were really successful marriages and the most successful marriages that we've ever seen. So when they say, look, you know, you will fall in love if you just listen to us, we both lean forward because there's something there. And that's the story that we wanted to tell, that why we respect our parents so much, why, you know, we actually listen to them when they have something to say, and why this process is maybe something, you know, that has something for us to learn from. Because at the end of the day, we all just want to fall in love. And it's not like, you know, anyone has it down. It's the biggest mystery in life.
And yet this process that we talk about, this arranged marriage process, has been going on for thousands of years in India. Champa, you came to the United States with $8 in your pocket. Vasant, you came with $8 in your pocket and went to college and built a successful life here, and then went back to India to be introduced Champa.
I was here 5 years in the U.S. after I graduated. Uh-huh. I worked for a little while. I saved enough money so I could afford to go home. And that's when I, before I went to India, I knew that I would be married when I come back. I just didn't know who.
I got the impression from watching the film that people who understand the process, such as yourselves, that is not intimidating. That would scare the you-know-what out of me. So
no, there was nothing worry. We knew it happens to everybody, and it happened to me, and I'll be married when I come back. So when I got to India, my parents and my cousins had already organized different girls to see one after another, so we were just busy doing it.
When you met Vasant, mm-hmm. had you ever laid eyes on him before?
No.
You didn't know him at all?
No, I didn't even laid eyes on him when we met for 10 minutes. I was looking down.
So, how did you decide, or was it in your power to decide?
Oh, yeah, sure. Actually, even when I got married, it was not like my dad said that here is a guy and that's it. I had seen some other boys. They were also from United States. And then when he came, my older brother, who is, I consider him like my father, he said, you know, I know his brother, and let me just go and check them out. Even though it may not work out, let me just go and check it out. So my brother decided to go, and then we met. And when we met, I already knew so much about him. So there is no need to worry. Their mind was all set that, oh my God, it's a best match one can have, including our names. My name is Champa, which is a flower that blooms in spring, and that's his name. So, I mean, what else can you ask for in the life, you know?
Well, you could ask for love, I suppose.
Well, love is within you. So if you have lots of love within you, it automatically comes.
In the arranged marriage, you first get married, and then the love develops over the rest of your life.
What if it doesn't?
Well, the Western way where you fall in love and you get married, how do you know it's going to last? So it's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Between the time you met and said, okay, I will marry him, I will marry her, how much time expires between that moment and the wedding ceremony, and then you take your wife to back to America. So she's a new guy and a new country.
Actually,
how much time elapses?
Well, it depends on how much time you have. In his case, he had no time.
He only had
4 days.
I met her in the afternoon to 3 o'clock. Next morning, my cousin says, "What did you decide?" Yes. In fact, he asked me right after I got out of the room when I saw her. He says, "What did you think?" So I don't know. Next morning, he says, "Well, is it yes or no?" So when I say yes, so it was less than 24 hours, and that's it.
No butterflies? No second thoughts?
No, never. Never did.
Ravi and Geeta, you knew this story. You grew up knowing this story your whole lives. I guess you...
And we got married in 5 days then.
Okay.
Yep.
So the two of you knew this story your whole lives. Did you anticipate that this would be your story as well? Or because you grew up in America, you thought you'd have the other alternative?
Definitely the second thing. I never thought that I would get married the way Mom and Dad did. I mean, while we grew up appreciating the way that they got married, you know, it's still, you know, the way that you're saying this is scary, I mean, it's just as scary for me. We grew up watching the same romantic comedies as you. I think we always thought that we would have, you know, an Indian spouse, just like they did, someone who's got the same cultural background. But I think we always thought that we'd find them the kind of traditional American way.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about whether or not that turned out. But the full court press was put on you on this trip, this family trip to India. Yeah, I think you go back, what, every year or every couple of years, and you hold a big charity event in India.
We all go, all four of us go together to India very regularly, even now. Yeah.
So the 18-hour flight, and it seemed like in the movie, every moment of every day you spent in India, that was the topic of conversation.
It wasn't just the India trip, Mike. It's kind of life in general.
there were other topics, like where do we want to go to eat and all that.
Talk about.
Why is it so important?
It's just so important.
Why? It's almost a matter of pride. If you watch the movie, it's a matter of pride versus shame. Married, not married. Why is that the center point?
I think everyone has their own opinion, but as the first one born, I would say when we were growing up, it was truly, you know, the most important thing. Second, of course, to studying and just, you know, getting good grades. And I think as we got older, especially, I mean, Ravi and I had slightly different experiences, but as we got older, I felt like it was really annoying and it was wrong and it was, you know, that I wanted my independence, I wanted my American experience, and I just wanted to be like everyone else. And, you know, working in the film world, I just worked really, really hard. And now that I'm older, I realize that they're right. I mean, the most important thing in life is to have a family and to have love and have great relationships. And there's really nothing that's more important than that, not even work, nothing.
Of course, that is the end result of the journey that we are taking on in this film.
Yeah.
We're not so sure that we're going to reach that point, but obviously you folks did reach that point. Geeta is the director. Ravi is the protagonist and the co-director of Meet the Patels. Mm-hmm. Vasant and Champa are Dad and Mom, and they're with us in the studio. And the movie is in theaters even as we speak. We're going to take a break and come back in a moment and talk about more about how this got made and the pressures involved in all of this in a moment. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Ken Hoffman, Edward Jones Financial Advisor at 121 A Depot Street in Davidson. Additional information is available at edwardjones.com. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC. And Festival in the Park, celebrating its 51st anniversary Friday through Sunday at Freedom Park, featuring 180 arts and crafts exhibitors, 5 performance stages, kids activities, and food. Open to the public. Information at festivalinthepark.org. Well, for weeks, Wall Street, potential home buyers and bankers waited cautiously to find out if the Federal Reserve would raise interest rates. They decided not to, at least for a while, and that, of course, raised questions about whether the Fed feels the economy is really as healthy as some believe. So, how healthy is it? We have a conversation about the national and the state economy and the factors affecting both tomorrow on this program at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, the Justice Department has launched a criminal probe of Volkswagen for allegedly manipulating U.S. emissions tests. What's behind the charges and implications for carmakers worldwide?
Join the Diane Rehm Show this morning from 10 to noon after Charlotte Talks on 90.7 WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Today we meet the Patels. That's the name of the movie and the fact that we're actually doing this worldwide. It's a worldwide conversation here this morning because Geeta, the director of Meet the Patels, is in Taiwan. Ravi, the protagonist, the subject of this film, and co-director, is in L.A. And their parents, Vasant and Champa, are here in our studio because they live in Charlotte. And I got to tell you, as I watched the film, before I even read the material, I watched the film and I thought, they live in Ballantyne.
Yes, we do.
Because the shots indicate, I thought, where's that? Where could that be? It has to be Ballantyne.
You see, that is correct. Yep.
In this film, Ravi, you call your sister a documentary filmmaker, but by no means a cinematographer, which you say is why the film treats us to footage that is at times out of focus, poorly framed, and often has a microphone in the upper right-hand corner. You're one of the directors here, Geeta. Why would you let him say that within the context of the film? You could have cut that out.
Oh, no, we actually had to add that in, Mike. the footage was so bad because the thing is that this was never supposed to be a film. It was just a home video. It was our family vacation video. It wasn't even our family vacation video. It was me learning how to use a camera, you know, using my nice vacation.
And she never did.
Mistake. And next thing you know, Ravi is, like, just being hilarious, as he always is, and Mom and Dad are being hilarious, and we're, you know, our family deals with problems. Our family really laughs and makes jokes when they are in pain. And so I couldn't help but to start filming it, and when we showed it to PBS, you know, they even saw that the footage was so bad because I didn't know how to shoot a camera. And but we, you know, it was so full of life, and we thought, okay, forget it, let's just make the film. But when we edited the film, we had to do something because it was so obvious, you know, that there was a microphone in the shots most of the time.
I just thought you were right.
I think it ended up being the charm of the movie.
Yeah. I just thought when I saw the microphone for the first couple of times, I just thought, every room they're in has this fuzzy thing in it. That's kind of interesting.
Thanks, Mike. I love you. Well,
that is the beauty of the film.
both Ravi and Geeta went to Myers Park High School. Geeta, you later went on to Duke University to major in comparative studies and then became a documentary filmmaker. Ravi, you went to Chapel Hill. Mm-hmm. You must have real arguments in the family about that. And majored
in... Yep, Ravi went to for investment banking and then he quit that job to go to L.A. Geeta was in financial management in New York. She got bored after 2 years, so she says, I'm going. So here I says, go all my money that I saved whole life and finance their education. So yeah,
you have jumped my question. That was going to be my question because I thought, you know, here are these two really talented, intelligent, well-educated young people who go off to successful careers in the economic world. And gosh knows you can make a fortune in that world if you're good at what you do. And then they decided to go to L.A. to become filmmakers and actors. That's like a parent's worst nightmare.
And make
nightmare.
No money.
Yes, yeah, that's a parent's worst nightmare.
Yes, and we had some good discussion over that time period when they were going through the transition, yes.
Even when this movie was being made about over a year and a half ago, they were having some issue between brother and sister. They were just arguing, and my husband is always counselor for them, and he said, just let that film go. Relationship is more important. Let it go. We don't want to do this film anymore.
Really?
Well, because both are very perfectionist and very talented and creative, and there are always creative differences, but the benefit of the whole movie is, aside from the success of the film, the real benefit is our whole family are more closer now and more appreciative of each other's talent and strength.
That's really interesting because this could have been a disaster for all of you. I mean, it's a testimony, I think, to the power of your family unit and the cohesiveness of it, because there have been other families on television. I think is it the Ladd family who was the very first subject of the very first look at the how family life worked in America, and it kind of fell apart for them. You had these very tough discussions, and really you were pushing your son, and he was kind of pushing back in this marriage.
He got from that dad. He's as strong as dad.
Well, I mean, I got it from all of these people.
But you survived it, and as you said, Vasant, you've become stronger as the result of it. I think the best comedy comes from truth, and the truth here is that you and your wife were genuinely concerned about your son and his being not married. It's difficult to understand why that's so – why it was so worrisome.
You know what? I think it's a really universal thing. I always tell my kids that your biological clock clicks at a time when it does. There is no wait for it. And second thing is, let me tell you, having a marriage, having kids, having family, it is the best counselor you can have in the life. It works very well. You support each other. You love each other. There is someone to look after when you go home, somebody there to hug you. Somebody's there to share your problem or happiness. And that therapy on daily basis, it makes it so, so rewarding.
You, I think, when you and your husband were talking to Ravi about why an arranged marriage such as your own would work, tell him that you need to be with a girl who has the same values that your son had, that you raised him with, who was raised the same way, and who shared the same religion. Now, that sounds like something that parents have said to their children forever, no matter what culture
you come
from. It certainly worked out for you. But when you talk about those shared values and experiences, it comes from almost a cloistered point of view. Is that why – and by cloistered, I mean you came from an insulated society. You had not really been Americanized yet. And so it was that way. You grew up with it that way. That's the way it was.
Yeah. And see, we've been in America for a while when we – you know, I mean, I came here when I was 22. And then kids were born and raised here. And so we had some exposure to American culture. It's not like we just came from India. But we still know – we have a very strong influence, and all of our friends and family are, you know, married the same way than what we believe. But I think if you think about it, I think it's a universal. It's not only Indian. In any lot of Jewish and other communities or even Eastern and a part of the world, the same beliefs that you get married, even in Chinese, you know, you're married in the same type of family and all that. And that's why it hit home to a lot of people. It's not just the Indian.
So in the film, you submit to this, Ravi. You agree to get...
Yeah, what I submit to is, you know, it's more actually the semi-arranged marriage system. So it's obviously, like, you know, I was not willing. Mom and Dad actually asked me if I was willing to put an ad in the paper in India, and, you know, that was like, sorry, no chance.
But that is very common. That's how we did. When I went to India,
you put a classified ad.
Well, it's not an ad, Mike. It's kind of a very poly. It was not an ad. It is more like an announcement, like my parents would put. That my
like
son is coming from America,
so
everybody knows what the purpose is.
So Craigslist is the way you do it now.
I wouldn't go that far. You
know? Yeah, no, that was not the truth.
I'm sorry, Ravi, you were talking a little bit.
What I finally agreed to was when we came back to the States to let them set me up the way that it's kind of done now. You know, back then, the way it was done with them was because they were all kind of in a close proximity to each other. Was, you know, I think they would get on the phone and call up families in nearby villages. Now, the way that they, you know, the way they kind of continue that system, there's this thing called the biodata, which are basically matrimonial resumes and pictures that Patel parents pass around to each other to help introduce the Patel kids to each other for the purposes of marriage. And obviously, it's not incest. This is more caste-based, because with Indian last name tells you what part of the country someone's from, and then in that is premised, you know, the same culture, the same values, same language, traditions, all these things. So that's what I agree to. At the end of the day, it's actually,
it's more just a weird way to be introduced to someone. It's a very awkward first date. And all of that is kind of exacerbated by the fact that your parents are agenting the whole process, both before, sometimes during, and after.
But even after you came back from India, this process continues, and you are kind of the clearinghouse. The parents are the clearinghouse. Because all these resumes...
Well, I haven't heard that word before.
But all these resumes, essentially they're resumes of people.
Yeah. Right.
All these girls are sending their resumes in. You're judging which ones might be a good match for your son. He sent his resume out as well. It's like auditioning for an acting job, isn't it?
Well, there's a pre-screening involved. And we know our son well, so we know what he would like, what would match, what is good. And again, these are not arranged marriages. These are arranged dates, actually, or arranged contacts, because he still met the girl like I did. When I went to India, I saw 13 girls. She was the last one. So it's not that she just go and get married with this girl.
So
just,
13 is a lucky number.
13 is a lucky number.
So now it comes out in the film that Champa, the mom, is a matchmaker. A really good matchmaker, a well-known matchmaker in this culture. You're like the Dolly Levi.
Yeah, she's a connector.
Of India. Now, how did your son survive till 30, if you're a matchmaker, without being married?
It is like you being a doctor, but you have disease in the house. That is how I tell people, and it's as simple as it is.
You know, doctors don't take care of themselves, but they treat everybody else.
Yeah, so that's how it goes. And they don't think much of mom, even though outside the people think of mom, right?
So. Oh, great. The floodgates are open.
What a time, right?
This sounds like an India trip again all over.
Yeah. Wait, how long is this interview?
Mike, I think there is a good point that Dad brought up, and that is that everybody thinks of the word arranged marriage when they look at this film because it's the only real terminology we have these days in the Western world for what Indians do. And the truth is this film actually shows you what is really going on, which is that arranged marriage is what they did in the villages in India way long time ago where, you know, two parents say these kids are going to get married, the kids don't have a choice, and they get married. But nowadays it's completely different. Even in India, you know, it's matchmaking more than anything. The parents match you up, you get to meet each other, you get to say no if you don't want to be with that person. And in America, this film is more about the assimilation of these immigrant communities from India, where they have, you know, the parents have been matched in India, but now they come to America wanting to match their children. And we as the children don't want them to match us because that's just plain weird. You know, we watch romantic comedies, but at the same time, we want the same love that our parents have. We want the same family that we grew up in because it's so beautiful and so stable. And, you know, right now in America, the divorce rate's like at an all-time high. It's not like we know, you know, it's not like our culture of dating has actually, you know, been successful. It's more like everyone's throwing their hands up trying to figure out how, you know, once you find love, how do you stay in love? What is the secret? And so I think that's one of the reasons we kept making this movie is Ravi and I really wanted to know, what is it, you know, that our parents are doing right?
So you're the matchmaker, you're well known as one. So what criteria do you use? How do you know that person A is good for person B?
I said to Ravi, you know, you should have financial background similar on both sides, the education, the religion, the culture, and bringing up. And let me tell you, the most important is today's here, there are so many matchmaking services. They work for money, basically, right? Mm-hmm. If you give them $2,000, there are some paper that they hand it out. I work with love. Without money, I don't charge anything. So to me, in our regardless whether I do it or someone else introduced to each other, there is so much love also in there that they have a desire to see the reward of their marriage being success. They don't have a desire that, oh, this guy will give me $2,000 or $3,000, and then if they find it, they find it.
Yeah.
It's a completely different mindset. And when I do that, I normally check all this out. Not only that, I talk to the boy and a girl, and I said, listen, this is what it is. I'm just introducing you to, and rest is up to God. And whatever happened, there is no hard feeling, and I'll show you someone else.
Well, she also provide ongoing counseling to them.
Yeah, I do. I do.
So until they get married.
So
she actually provides ongoing counseling to anyone
at any time.
You don't have to ask him. Yeah.
So yeah. Ravi, as the object of all of this, all these resumes flying through.
You mean the victim?
Yeah. All these resumes flying through the air. Your parents kind of going through these things and deciding who might be a good match, and then telling you to set this date up, set that date up. How does that differ from Match.com or eHarmony? Is there a difference?
Well, you know, funny enough, I don't think it is that different. I mean, you know, these biodata that they send our way, they've got, you know, obviously the work stuff is in there. That's probably the main part of it, but there's also like...
Yeah, the education, work, hobby, interest, yeah, personality.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the way it's different is the family stuff, Rob. You know, like the...
Yeah. So the main thing is that it's very similar to dinner day. The only difference is that, you know, your mom and dad are very involved. And that's a big difference.
And also we send it to Patel's, mainly.
It tells you the background of this person's family. It tells you what village they're from, what their roots are, if they have brothers and sisters, what the jobs are of their brothers and sisters, what the jobs are of the parents. So it gives you this connection where when you read the biodata, you know what community this person's from and thus what values this person grew up with. And that's why the parents are so involved.
I think, Mike, the marriage is not only between a boy and a girl. Marriage is between the family. That's how we treat. It's a family to family. So whole family, everything else has to match. And that is why marriages survive, because whole family is supporting you. So when you want to divorce, the family is involved in the agreement in order to even get a divorce.
So now, we haven't talked much about Geeta, who is the director of all this. And I understand that, at least at the time of the making of this film, you were not married. Is there pressure on you, and are you the subject of a sequel?
Great question.
Geeta, go ahead.
Oh, God. Okay, guys. Calm down.
Good time to announce
first of
a
all,
sequel.
I never wanted to make this film because the pressure was on me for so long, and the last thing I wanted to do was to make a film about this. You know what I mean? It's like the one thing I wanted to run away from was this story. So, as far as a sequel, there is no way in hell that we're making a sequel. I'm just glad this one's over. This one took 6 years.
Now, we're going to take a break, so I can't ask a question because we haven't got enough time to get the answer.
Oh, that's too bad.
But we're going to come back, and we'll pursue this a little further down the road. But more importantly, I want to get back to this family aspect, because, as you said, it's not just a marriage between a man and a woman. It's a marriage between families, and it's a very important thing that you choose the right family. But in your case, all of the families are named Patel. We're going to come right back and figure that out in just a couple of seconds. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Bojangles, featuring the smoked sausage biscuit, hickory smoked sausage on a made-from-scratch buttermilk biscuit, available all day at area Bojangles. And St. Andrew's Sewanee School, a co-ed college preparatory school in Sewanee, Tennessee, welcoming students from Charlotte and around the world, accepting applications for enrollment, sasweb.org. The Justice Department has launched a criminal probe against Volkswagen for allegedly manipulating U.S. emission tests. So, on the Diane Rehm Show in 20 minutes, what's behind the charges and implications for car makers worldwide? That's at 10 o'clock. If you'd like to join our conversation with the Patels, you can get to us through Facebook or Twitter at WFAE or email us, charlottetalks@wfae.org. We're all coming right back.
Our fall fundraiser is coming up, and in an attempt to give you more programming and less fundraising, we're encouraging you to pledge early and help shorten the campaign. Every dollar received before the fundraiser begins will go toward reducing the $400,000 goal, and for every $60,000 raised, we'll take a day off our 7-day drive. You'll also be entered to win a GoPro Hero 4. No pledge is necessary to enter. It's easy to contribute. Go to WFAE.org. Thank you.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Today we meet the Patels. That's the name of a movie that's playing in town right now. And it is the story. It's a documentary, but it is delightfully entertaining. And it's the story of Ravi Patel and his quest to be married. Well, actually, it wasn't his quest. It's his parents' quest to get him married. They're here in our studio. Vasant and Champa are here with us. Ravi is on the phone from L.A. And Geeta, who's the director of this film, is on the phone from us from Taiwan this morning. You're part of the family, Geeta, but you're also the cinematographer here, and you're the director, and you played a role in the writing and the editing of all this. You're watching all of this unfold through the lens of the camera. So while that's happening, are you thinking like a filmmaker? Are you feeling like a fly on the wall, or are you so into this because you're all also part of the family? How did it work for you?
Well, you know, funny enough, this film was Ravi's idea. We directed it together, and we, you know, the way the whole thing started, he said to me, "This is something we need to document." This, I don't know. He said, "I don't know exactly where we're going," but he said, "Let's document this, you know, our community, our culture, and how this happens." And so I'd always been with him on the journey. And so as we started filming, I was behind the camera, but I felt very connected to him. I felt very connected to something that was unspoken. You know how sometimes you go through something you can't really explain to someone else? I feel like we both were going through that, and we couldn't even explain it to each other, but we could feel it as we were filming this film. And so it was a very kind of, you know, outside of us fighting all the time, it was a pretty beautiful process because I think we both were just so curious as to what the end was going to be of all this, you know, conflict, all this, you know, all the things we couldn't understand. And again, it took 6 years. So, it wasn't one of those things where we were thinking about the film all the time. I think it was more that we were in this insular kind of thinking about our lives all the time because it was our own story.
It took 6 years and nobody ages. I think that's amazing. good makeup people. This you bring up some interesting points here because this film, you don't know where it's going. You don't know how it's going to end. And we're not going to tell you how it ends in the course of this interview, but you don't know. So there's suspense. There's drama. You do fight in this film, but all families fight. You're remarkably open, but you're also funny. And what comes through all of it, even the fights, is this intense love that you have for each other.
Yeah, see, you may disagree with somebody, but you can don't have to hate. So hate and love is a choice we make when we disagree. And everybody have their own opinions and own thinking, and we brought up kids that way. But at the end of the day, it's a family. And we always emphasize that the family come first, I would say, and the relationship. Everything else is an optional.
Well, you bring up something interesting in the course of this film, which may surprise a lot of people from the West. You come from an incredibly large family, and you sit down with Ravi at some point with the map of India.
Yeah.
and you show him where the Patel family comes from. Well, that's all very interesting, because I would probably sit down with my father, where he's still alive, with a map of Ireland, and we'd find out where we came from. But it would not have been pointed out to me that we only marry Patels.
Well, I spoke my mind, and then he can do what he want to do.
Now, this is somebody in the film makes a point of saying this is not incest.
Yep.
Why are Patels supposed to marry Patels? And if it's not incest, what is it?
Well, first of all, you have to realize that, you have to know that where we come from, Like in my hometown, 80% of the people are Patel. All our neighbors are Patel. So whole villages are Patel.
And Ravi points out that his name, Ravi Patel, is like John Smith.
And like my wife's hometown is about 7 miles away from my hometown. So the reason is not incest is we have rules. Like boy from my town can marry girl from her town. But girl from my town cannot marry a boy from her. So there are one way set. I can only marry to girl from certain villages.
So there has to be
genetics. Yeah. System, Mike.
Yeah. Genetic separation.
Separation.
Now, Ravi, you're an actor. A lot of people know you. And yet in this film, we not only find out about the pressures you face in your personal life to get married, we find out about how you grew up and the fact that your dating experience was limited.
All the ladies in Charlotte don't know about it.
Yeah, so you were not permitted. You were not allowed to date as a kid. Is that right?
Yeah.
So did you do you have any misgivings about going so public with this side of what you call a double life?
Misgivings is probably the weakest verb we could use.
Understatement.
Yeah, it's a massive understatement. I mean, you know, I was already living with my sister, which, spoiler alert, by the way, we no longer live with each other. So there is that much of a happy ending in the story. And, you know, we live together. We're making a movie together. It's about my love life in a time when mom and dad are throwing all this pressure on me. And then it ended up becoming, you know, completely about our entire family. It was a lot. It still is. I mean, it's not normal putting a documentary out there about your life. But I got to tell you, it's been a fun time. I mean, doing interviews with your family is, you know, not something everyone else can say that they get to do. And we go around all these film festivals together, and sometimes we just send mom and dad. And you know, dad's on Facebook now because he's turning into some sort of a celebrity.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you go to our Meet the Patels Facebook page, you can see that. So he replies to anyone within minutes. The whole process has been adorable.
What I really – I mean, you come across in this movie as being incredibly likable, and because you're so
– that's completely accurate, Mike.
That's not true.
Everybody loves Ravi. In fact, we were going to do a TV show like Everybody Loves Raymond. Uh-huh. Everybody Loves Ravi.
You may be onto something. That would be a great show, four of you. The four of you would be a great show.
No, but he is very sweet since he was baby. He has been
– Very caring.
Very caring. Understanding and then
helping,
and he has that nature, I think, where he draws the people.
But so, you also come across as very vulnerable and willing to be so in public. That's tough.
People ask us that how you feel about showing your private side in the public, but we are very comfortable. We don't have any.
Huh.
I think it comes from just being. You know, I don't know that I could have done this 10 years ago or whatever, but at this point in my life, I kind of figure I have great family, I have great friends, and this movie, no matter what people see, isn't going to change my closest friends or my loved ones' opinions of me.
Well, now...
go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's all right.
No, just at the end of the day, the only thing that's at risk is what kind of strangers think of me. And while, you know, obviously I do want people to like me, you know, I'm less scared of strangers disliking me.
So if this grandfathered thing on Fox doesn't work out...
John Stamos is in it.
Well, if it doesn't work out, he could be the guy next door in Everybody Loves Ravi. And since the idea came out on this program, I get to be executive producer.
Okay, Mike.
There's a scene in the film where you're having a conversation with your son, Vasant, and you tell him, you talk about the process that you went through to meet your wife and the end result of that being so successful, but you say that the process has actually changed since you met your wife.
Sure.
And you're okay with how it has changed, and you're telling your son that he can take advantage of these changes. And I was just curious as I watched that, if you're so open to change, why not just let him do the Western thing?
Oh, we don't have a problem with that. We just wanted to get married, that's all. Whether his way or our way was not an issue.
Well, he says,
but we were just providing a help that in case you can use it, then we are there for you.
Yeah.
And I think the type of the culture we come from, the parents, we feel that we are successful when we have our kids married and our kids have lots of money. That's how our culture is. Mm. So, you know, obviously our need is, oh, we want them to get married. And that is the very reason actually we tried so hard. And I believe that if you believe something, then you work at it, do your karma and result can be anything.
Now, I could be wrong.
It's also this that, like, you know, a lot of people think that our parents pressure us to do this. And, yeah, there's pressure, but I think the greatest pressure as Americans, for Rebbe and me, is the pressure we put on ourselves. We want to have successful relationships. We want to get married. And sometimes, you know, I know many people listening to the show are like, oh, I'm single, I want to be married, or, oh, I'm in a relationship, but it's just not working, I wish I could figure out how to make it work. Well, if somebody looks at you with all the confidence in the world and says, I love you, I know how to give you what you're looking for, you're going to double take. You're going to think about it.
Hmm. Vasant said that we would be okay if Ravi had...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm watching the film, and of course, it could be the way the film was edited. It could be Gita pulling a fast one on us here. But I got the impression, distinct impression, Champa, that you were not okay. You would not have been okay with this. You had very, very clearly defined lines of demarcation.
You know what, Mike? I'll tell you one thing. I believe that we all are a good, clean soul, and we all are good people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I do believe that culture does play a role. So you are good where you are sitting, and I am good where I am sitting. And if I have got acquainted with people where they come from same area, then we would be more happy, the relationship would be easier, mm-hmm. less stressful, and the love would be different. And at the same time, I think you would not have to go through lots of hassle to make that work. And that is probably the very reason when divorce take a place, because you have to work so at it to make it happen. In our case, that work was done and before by parents and by culture. And
because of the compatibility.
Compatibility.
And
so much compatibility. And I still believe that Ravi and Gita, no matter who they find, where they find, their love is going to be my love, our love. But let me tell you, their marriage will be little stressful, because when American girl come or American boy come, when they get together, that guy will be little lonely because we are all Patels. You know what I mean?
So, yes, I do.
You know, so he will feel
you know
little lonely.
There's not even room to get lonely in this family.
You got a big family.
Loneliness would be that's something I would put an ad in the paper for. You know, loneliness is finally an option you guys.
What you have to do if it comes to that, we're not going to give away the end, but you just sit them down and you show them this film, because one of the things that I got from watching this film is that you people are very different from my family. You're very different.
Just good people, Mike.
Yes, and although I love Indian food, that's my contact with the Indian world. That's it. In the mm-hmm. restaurant, that's it. Pay the bill, go, and I'm back in America. You go through something in the film that makes this universal, Ravi, and you make it completely understandable for somebody not from the Indian culture, because you have a foot in both cultures. And you're in India and you're having a conversation on the street with a groom at a wedding. And you ask him if he is sure about this marriage. And he very quickly, without thought, says, yes. And then you ask if he has any doubts. And just as quickly, he says, no. And you look absolutely bewildered.
And that was arranged marriage.
Yeah.
I knew.
Yeah. You look absolutely bewildered, and that is exactly what I was feeling when I watched it. So I thought, I'm where he is. He's where I am. I get it.
Yeah. I think that might have an impact on him. Yeah.
But I think it has an impact on the people who watch
the film.
It's a really great way to bridge the cultural divide.
Yep.
It's
true. Well, I mean, I felt the same way, too. I mean, I think it's the way a lot of us feel growing up in America. You know, when we see our cousins getting married or we hear our parents talk about how they got married, we feel that same feeling.
And they don't have any doubts when they get married. They're sure this is going to work and they know it.
I feel like today's world, the kids are looking how she looks, how he looks, what is she wearing. And to me, that's all cosmetics. That is, you can change. In fact, I'll tell you, when we went to India, I have set up some marriages in India also, took some nephews, our niece and nephews there. And one of my niece, she was getting married, and we were interviewing some boys, and she said, you know, he looks so cool, he's wearing good clothes, and that. And I said, you know, honey, you can change him. No matter what he is wearing, but the inside what he is or where he come from, you cannot change. That comes from the roots. And she, right away, she said, okay, that's fine. So she let him go.
This film opens up some serious questions about the nature and value and importance of culture in a multicultural society and about what you gain or lose by staying with your own kind or opening up to something else, someone new, someone not like yourself. Having grappled with all of this in the course of this film, do the four of you feel stronger for it?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Now we feel a lot stronger and a lot closer.
It changed our lives.
Finally, our kids are going to make some money.
I think we became appreciative of each other's strength and talents.
I want to hear from Geeta and Ravi on this before we end the show. Go ahead, Geeta.
It changed our lives. I mean, the story that the film documented really changed so many things about us. First of all, you know, it's the story of a family just trying to become a stronger family. It's the story of four individuals trying to be happy. And it really did change all of our lives on both levels. I am closer to my parents, closer to my brother in a way that is magical. Like, I'm so proud of what we went through. And it also helped us be better in relationships and be better people.
I think it really ended up changing.
Robin,
I think that's why
seconds.
People... I think that's why people are loving the movie so much, because it's not just about some Indian stuff or a documentary. It's about family, and it's a fun ride.
Ravi, Geeta Vasant, and Champa Patel, Meet the Patels is the name of the film that they put together. It's a documentary, but if you thought this conversation was fun, the movie is more fun and delightful to watch. It's in the theaters right now. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Charlotte Talks with Mike Collins is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Our executive producer is Wendy Herkey. Our producers are Aaron Kiever and David Borax. The engineer is Joby Sprinkle. For more information about Charlotte Talks, archives, upcoming shows, and podcast, or to continue the conversation online,